Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, we are being ripped apart on a minute-by-minute basis in a never-ending global AI digital war. The internet is right around 28 years old, and we have gone from the excitement of globally connecting to the stupefying numbness of cyber oppression. Does it feel like you're constantly in a heightened state of existence with your nerves stretched just about to the breaking point as the relentless drumbeat of breaking news washes across your screen on a minute-by-minute basis? The AI that everybody is so afraid of has been hard at work for some time now, and newsflash, it's already taken over. We are at war, digital war. Does it ever feel like social media is killing you? It should, because it is trying to. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Interesting choice of words. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are connected to each other and to the world around us with a digital tether. Just like in the Matrix, it has invaded every area of our perception and set up shop to conduct end times business. Have you ever noticed that everything is turning digital? Art, money, brochures, business cards, and your business itself, well, it all has a digital representative, an avatar, an angel, you might say. Those digits can be controlled, and indeed are controlled, by shadowy and unseen forces that you might be tempted to call the New World Order. Your King James Bible calls them the gods, and they are primed to make a literal, visible, and physical appearance just about any day now. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we show you who is really behind the news on your device. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here. And Lord, our need is greater of you than it's ever been. Today, we're praying for Annetta, who needs a complete healing from a stroke. She's going through a lot of difficult situations right now, and the Lord knows the need. And we lift her up in prayer and ask you to set a hedge of protection about her. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Karen Robinson is praying for her dad who had a stroke. Elena Blackburn is expecting, and we're praying that she'll carry to full term and give birth to a healthy baby. Kathy Kelly is asking for prayer for her sister-in-law, Donia, cirrhosis of the liver, and Kathy's husband, Dennis, may be called on to donate a portion of his liver. Jeanette's cousin, Andrew, had a stroke. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, and we're praying a complete healing for him. Ashley is pregnant, addicted to meth, and she needs to get saved. And we're putting that up before the Lord today. Amanda Mathias will be undergoing bladder surgery, and she needs your prayer. We have a praise report today. Lori Ann closed officially yesterday on her new home for her and her two children. And she is very grateful and thankful for everybody that prayed her all the way through. And that's what we do here for each other. We are a family, the NTEB family. Jax says, could I please ask for prayer today? Feeling really rough with hacking cough, no sleep for 3 days. And she says, please pray for healing and renewed energy. It's so great to be here. I've missed everybody. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here. And Lord, we lift up every one of these prayers plus the unspoken prayers of our hearts and ask you to work and move And Father God, we're just so glad. We're just so grateful. And we just come before you this morning and ask you to get into all these prayers and get something done. And Father God, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. But we know and we believe, Lord, that you are watching over us and that you like to give your children good things and you take care of everything that we need, the food, the clothing, the shelter, our health, every type of issue. And Lord, today we ask you to heal that which is broken. We ask you to get into the midst of all of these things for your glory and for our good and for and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just want to give you a quick update with the Bible program. I had a great lunch yesterday with Chaplain Deion Sanders, not Sanders. Why do I keep saying that? Deion Johnson, Chaplain Deion Johnson. And we had a great barbecue lunch yesterday. And in the new year, we're going to be going into the jail in St. John's County, and we have an opportunity to minister. We have an opportunity to preach, and Chris Hart is going to be flying out from the West Coast in February, and we're going to go into the jails together and see what the Lord would allow us to do. But please keep Chaplain Johnson in your prayer in the St. John's County Jail. He is getting stuff done. He's a great guy. I really enjoyed my time with him yesterday. And please keep Chaplain Johnson in your prayers. And please be praying for the work that God is leading us to do. I mean, it's not going to start until next year. But let's bathe it in prayer first. And I was going through... have so many emails to Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation in Shelbyville. Those are the people that send out the bulk of our Bibles. And we're sending out Bibles to Lebanon, to Stark, Florida. We're sending them out to Las Vegas, Nevada. We sent them out to Alabama. I'm going to try to do a list. Tricia was asking me, did we send the Bibles out to Okeechobee yet? And I honestly don't know. We have so many irons in the fire right now. To be perfectly honest, we've kind of swamped the people at Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation, and they're such good people. And we've been asking them to do for us something that they're not really set up to do. They are set up to put cases of Bibles on boats and send them to overseas missionaries. And they very graciously have agreed to help us send out Bibles here in America. And we're sending them to the jails and the prisons. So please keep Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation in your prayers, okay? Without their assistance, we couldn't be doing this. We couldn't be doing this. So, you know, when God calls you to do a job, he gives you all the tools that you need. And so this free Bible program, the Bibles Behind Bars, it is operating on so many different levels, and there's so many people involved to make this happen. One day I'm going to do a program, and I'm going to show you the entire system that is called into action every time we send Bibles out, and it would really amaze you. It would really amaze you how much effort that it takes to get these Bibles printed, shipped, paid for. It's everybody operating on so many different levels. It amazes me, and I'm in the middle of it 7 days a week. And one day soon, I'll do a show, and I'll reveal to you this amazing process of getting these Bibles out. It takes workers in Tennessee. It takes workers at the bookstore. It takes me. It takes you. It takes people praying. It takes people donating. It's really, really rather, I don't want to say it's complicated, but it's complex. It is absolutely a complex system. And when you add to that, that the cost of paper went up 30%, the cost of shipping has gone up 30%, it's a miracle that this program is still happening. So please keep our free Bible program and the Bibles Behind Bars program and the billboard program. We're getting ready to put up a new billboard. A brother has sent in some funding to get a billboard up in Bradenton, and we're working on that. We hope to have it up before the end of the year. So please keep all of these ministries going in your prayers, because that's the only way that we're going to get this stuff done. So I just wanted to give you a quick update. I had lunch with the chaplain yesterday, and I just got all fired up, and it was just a really good day all the way around yesterday. So let's talk today. I want to talk about this digital war that we are all in. You know how when Obama was president, we were all waiting here in America for the second American Civil War? Well, the funny thing is, the second American Civil War has been underway for a number of years. And it's a war not just here in America, but it's a global war. And it pits people against other people. And there's not a whole lot of tanks. There's not a whole lot of guns. I drive all over, and I don't see the military parading down the street. We hold Bible studies. I don't see the CIA knocking down my door, telling me we can't have a Bible study. We're sending out King James Bibles, and nobody is stopping us. But nevertheless, we are at war. And I don't mean in some sort of high-level, general, yeah, we're always at spiritual war. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a literal, actual war, but it's a war that takes place digitally. So you don't really get the chance to see it with your eyes. You can see the effects of it, but you really can't see it with your eyes. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Isn't it interesting that the main thing, the main term that we have for computers, laptops, tablets, smartphones, mobile phones, Kindle readers, Fitbit, Apple Watches, what is the one commonality between all those things? We call every one of those things a device. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. Now, just for fun, turn to Revelation chapter 13. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Let's set the table. Let's set the table so that when we get into the meat of today's show, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. Revelation 13, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This beast is operating at a level that nobody on earth can fathom. And then look down in verse 15, Revelation 13, 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Talking about artificial intelligence. Revelation 13, 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
And a warning from Tesla Motors CEO Elon Musk. It has nothing to do with cars. Instead, Musk warns about artificial intelligence, which he has called more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Musk spoke at a symposium at MIT.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Didn't work out.
I take it there will be no Hell 9000 going up to Mars.
Hell 9000 would be easy. It's way more complex than, I mean, it would put Hell 9000 to shame. Yeah. I like a puppy dog.
So there you had Elon Musk in that infamous clip from a number of years ago where he talked about summoning the beast, summoning the demon. Well, it's kind of funny. It's kind of massively coincidental that the same person, Elon Musk, who just told you that artificial intelligence is like summoning the demon, well, he's the same guy with a company called Neuralink. And what is he doing with Neuralink? He is building an implantable chip that will go inside your brain. Now, is this chip the mark of the beast? I don't know. It doesn't sound like the mark of the beast, but it certainly could be the mark of the beast. The point of what I'm saying is that the same guy that warned you about artificial intelligence summoning the demon is the exact same guy who is building an implantable brain chip. Now, you remember back in April of 2021, where we brought you that story of a monkey that is implanted with this brain chip. And he's playing the very first video game ever, a game called Pong. And believe it or not, I remember when that game was brand new, and I remember playing that game. It is the simplest game you could ever possibly imagine. It's a little square ping pong ball. You get a paddle on the left side, a paddle on the right side, and you just play ping pong. Well, this monkey, he started playing Pong, and about halfway through the game, the monkey realized he didn't need to control the paddle with anything other than his brain. The monkey figured out that the chip inside his brain and his thoughts was all that he needed to continue playing the game. And when we released that story back in 2021, I mean, if you remember how unbelievable that was, that here you have this monkey with Elon Musk's brain chip, and he's playing an Atari video game, and halfway through the game, the monkey says to himself, wait a second, I can play this game with my brain. Now, it is unbelievable that that brain chip allowed him to do that, but it is astounding that the monkey at some point understood what that chip inside his head could do for him without anybody telling him anything. I almost feel like pausing for dramatic effect. I almost feel like just taking a 2-minute break so that you could just think about what I just told you. The monkey understood that the chip inside his head allowed him to play the game with just his thoughts. Who told him that? Nobody told him that. The monkey figured it out. With no words, with no English, no other language, the monkey just realized, wait a second, I can play this with my thoughts. Now, when you're operating at that level, that is absolutely, you are so far out there. But let me tell you something, that was a year ago. We've gone well past that now. And so the point of the whole program today is I want to show you how the technology that we think is serving us is actually making us serve it. The technology that we think is serving us is actually making us serve it. And I'm going to prove that to you today. Now, I want you to listen to this clip. It was taken from a TED Talk, and it's called How to Recognize a Dystopia. How to Recognize a Dystopia. And that word, at the height of the pandemic, everybody was using that word. Now, in all fairness, we've been using that word for quite some time. But in 2020, the rest of the world caught up to Now the End Begins, and everybody started using that word. So what is a dystopia? Well, the technical definition is an imagined state or society in which there is great suffering or injustice, typically one that is totalitarian or post-apocalyptic, meaning the type of world that you would have after the aliens take over, the type of world that you would have after a massive asteroid blows up a third of the Earth. A dystopia is the society that you have after some sort of a disaster. And, of course, that is in opposition to a utopia, which is a blissful state of existence. Okay, so I want you to listen to this clip, How to Recognize a Dystopia. And it's really, really quite interesting. Take a listen to this.
Have you ever tried to picture an ideal world? One without war, poverty, or crime? If so, you're not alone. Plato imagined an enlightened republic ruled by philosopher kings. Many religions promise bliss in the afterlife. And throughout history, various groups have tried to build paradise on Earth. Thomas More's 1516 book, Utopia, gave this concept a name, Greek for no place. Though the name suggested impossibility, modern scientific and political progress raised hopes of these dreams finally becoming reality. But time and time again, they instead turned into nightmares of war, famine, and oppression. And as artists began to question utopian thinking, the genre of dystopia, the not-good place, was born. One of the earliest dystopian works is Jonathan Swift's Gulliver's Travels. Throughout his journey, Gulliver encounters fictional societies, some of which at first seem impressive, but turn out to be seriously flawed. On the flying island of Laputa, scientists and social planners pursue extravagant and useless schemes while neglecting the practical needs of the people below. And the Houyhnhnm, who live in perfectly logical harmony, have no tolerance for the imperfections of actual human beings. With his novel, Swift established a blueprint for dystopia, imagining a world where certain trends in contemporary society are taken to extremes, exposing their underlying flaws. And the next few centuries would provide plenty of material. Industrial technology that promised to free laborers imprisoned them in slums and factories instead, while tycoons grew richer than kings. By the late 1800s, many feared where such conditions might lead. H.G. Wells' The Time Machine imagined upper classes and workers evolving into separate species, while Jack London's The Iron Heel portrayed a tyrannical oligarchy ruling over impoverished masses. The new century brought more exciting and terrifying changes. Medical advances made it possible to transcend biological limits, while mass media allowed instant communication between leaders and the public. In Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, citizens are genetically engineered and conditioned to perform their social roles. While propaganda and drugs keep the society happy, it's clear some crucial human element is lost. But the best-known dystopias were not imaginary at all. As Europe suffered unprecedented industrial warfare, new political movements took power. Some promised to erase all social distinctions, while others sought to unite people around a mythical heritage. The results were real-world dystopias, where life passed under the watchful eye of the state, and death came with ruthless efficiency to any who didn't belong. Many writers of the time didn't just observe these horrors, but lived through them. In his novel We, Soviet writer Yevgeny Zamyatin described a future where free will and individuality were eliminated. Banned in the USSR, the book inspired authors like George Orwell, who fought on the front lines against both fascism and communism. While his novel Animal Farm directly mocked the Soviet regime, the classic 1984 was a broader critique of totalitarianism, media, and language. And in the USA, Sinclair Lewis's It Can't Happen Here envisioned how easily democracy gave way to fascism. In the decades after World War II, writers wondered what new technologies like atomic energy, artificial intelligence, and space travel meant for humanity's future. Contrasting with popular visions of shining progress, dystopian science fiction expanded to films, comics, and games. Robots turned against their creators, while TV screens broadcast deadly mass entertainment. Workers toiled in space colonies above an earth of depleted resources and overpopulated, crime-plagued cities. Yet politics was never far away. Works like Dr. Strangelove and Watchmen explored the real threat of nuclear war, while V for Vendetta and The Handmaid's Tale warned how easily our rights could disappear in a crisis. And today's dystopian fiction continues to reflect modern anxieties about inequality, climate change, government power, and global epidemics. So why bother with all this pessimism? Because at their heart, dystopias are cautionary tales, not about some particular government or technology, but the very idea that humanity can be molded into an ideal shape. Think back to the perfect world you imagined. Did you also imagine what it would take to achieve? How would you make people cooperate? And how would you make sure it lasted? Now take another look. Does that world still seem perfect?
So there you have that very interesting little clip, How to Recognize a Dystopia. And what I really like about that clip is he gave you the last 200 years of history of the United States with the Industrial Revolution, the Technical Revolution, and all these different things that brought us to where we are right now. And the Bible talks about a dystopia. There is no turn to Revelation chapter. Let me see where I want to go here. Revelation chapter. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So the Bible in the book of Revelation shows you this 7-year dystopian world that is going to take place. And everything about this world is fake. Everything about it is a trap. It's a trick. Everything about the time of Jacob's trouble is the opposite of the peaceable righteousness that you would associate with the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is God's righteousness. It is peace. It is a spiritual kingdom. Now, I would not call the kingdom of God a utopia, just because even that word, even though I know that that's the opposite of a dystopia, But it still is talking about a man-made situation. God doesn't bring in a utopia. God brings in a kingdom. And in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be a dystopian society, and it is going to be ruled by artificial intelligence. Now, you say to me, how do I know that? How do I know that? Go back to Revelation chapter 13. Go back to Revelation chapter 13. And I just want to point this really simple thing out, but it's something that almost nobody ever talks about. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And what does that mark do? And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So everybody focuses on this mark that's going to control financial transactions. And if you can control financial transactions, you control every aspect of society. But John says that this mark goes inside your body. Now, maybe I have never read an article on this topic before, but I don't recall anybody 2,000 years ago having injectable technology for anything. Have you ever heard of anybody 2,000 years ago injecting things into your body with a hypodermic needle? That technology did not exist. So everybody focuses on what is the mark going to be. And they overlook the fact that when John gave that prophecy, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Everybody overlooks the fact that injectable technology didn't exist. So what is John really showing you? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ really showing you about the mark of the beast? It is technology that goes inside your body. Now, we know, living in 2022, and we know, living with the internet for the last 28 years and having cryptocurrency and digital this and digital that and wire transfers and wire transactions and all these things that are only possible because we have the internet. I want you to understand that this technology that we think is so great is actually the engine that's going to power the dystopia of the 7-year reign of Satan. Now, a couple of years ago, we did a story on this company called Sinclair Media, and they are a company that we found out that they were providing the news. And everybody on the news was reading exactly the same thing. Remember that clip? Sinclair Media's fake news makes news anchors all say the same thing. If you've never heard this clip, it's a short one, but you're going to love it. Take a listen to this.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling and irresponsible one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these stories without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think. And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 Yes, that is extremely dangerous to our democracy. But the reason why I played that clip for you today is that's what we... Now, let's see, when did we do that article? We did that article April 22nd of 2019. So that actually predates the pandemic. But I want to tell you something that is, well, I find it shocking, and maybe you will as well, is for a great number of years, all of the talking heads on local news and national news, they were all saying the same thing because they were all receiving the same script from the same place. But now, that's not necessary now, because now we have artificial intelligence that takes control of TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and all social media. Did you know that that social media is the place where the majority of the world gets their information from? So you might say to me, well, I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on Twitter. These things don't affect me. Yes, they do. Because the news is controlled by artificial intelligence. And it is... they are showing you what they want you to see. And they have done multiple studies about this. And if you remember back, I think 2015, 2014, I don't know if I can put my finger on the ad right away. But Facebook was conducting experiments where they were using their news feed and seeing if they could get people to do things. They were seeing if they can cause a controversy. They were seeing if they could have some sort of like a mass hypnosis. And I'm looking in the archives right now. I don't know if I can put my finger on that article right away. But it was about 5 or 6 years ago. And It was a mind control experiment that they were conducting. Now, you flash forward to the pandemic. And what were they doing? What were they using social media to do? Today is day 998 of 15 days to flatten the curve. On Monday, we are going to be celebrating 1,001 days of 15 days to flatten the curve, and we are going to have a special two-hour podcast, Lord willing, this Monday. And the title of our podcast on Monday is going to be Welcome to Day 1001 of 15 Days to Flatten the Curve. That's how far we've come, and in such a short period of time. So, what we see in 2022, we see the same artificial intelligence that Elon Musk said was summoning the demon. Elon Musk just bought the company that is the biggest perpetrator of thought control on the face of the earth. So let's take a listen to this clip. Let's take a listen to this clip. Jack Dorsey, he was on the Matt Lauer show a number of years ago. And Jack Dorsey was asked if Twitter intentionally controlled what people were reading. And before I play the other clips that I have for you, I want you to listen to what the CEO of Twitter, this is a couple of years ago, this is what Jack Dorsey said when he was asked, does Twitter try to control what people think? Take a listen to this.
The media just gets everything wrong. And every now and again, you can go back and find beautiful moments of the lies being exposed in real time. So here's where I want to give credit where credit is due. You remember Matt Lauer? Matt Lauer was beloved by mainstream media for like 20 years, hosted the Today Show. I guess he ended up harassing a couple women or something. He's gone now. Okay, fine. He was Me Too'd, is what it is. But here, he actually did a pretty freaking decent job. This is amazing. So this is video from 2016 with Matt Lauer on the Today Show asking then Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey if they censor individuals. This is just spectacular. And just watch this, knowing the backdrop of what we have learned over the last couple of days.
So let me ask you point blank. Does Twitter censor the content of its users? Does it hide what it would consider inflammatory comments, whether they be social or political?
Absolutely not. Twitter's always been about controls. People can follow whoever they want. And it's our job to make sure they see the most important things and the things that will matter to them.
So anybody can say anything on Twitter. The company does not go in there and take certain things out that can be dangerous.
Well, there's certainly tweets that promote violence, which is against our terms of service, and people have controls to block and people have controls to mute.
But what about the company? Who decides the difference between criticism and hate?
These are the individuals. So you can follow who you want, and if it's something you want to see, you continue to follow it.
Okay, you really need to understand. I think that video is going to be used in a court of law against him and the company. Not only is he lying there, because he also lied. It's very obvious that he's lying. He's basically saying, we don't do anything. You can decide what to do, meaning you can block, you can mute, you can unfollow somebody. But then he said, and this is the line. If you're a lawyer interested in First Amendment and any of this stuff, tech, this is the line. Our job is they see the most important things. Well, if your job is that they see the most important things, by default, you're ensuring that they won't see other certain things because you're deciding what's most important. When most people got on Twitter, the idea was you are going to follow people and see a purely chronological feed with no manipulation. That's what you will see. But their job became to make sure you see the most important things. Well, that means some things aren't going to be as important.
So there you have, that was the Dave Rubin show on YouTube, and he was telling you about the time that Matt Lauer asked the then CEO of Twitter, is Twitter in the business of censoring people? Well, we know after Elon Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion, we know that the answer to that question is not only a resounding yes, Twitter censors people, but they do their very best by manipulating the feed that you see to control how you feel and to control how you think. Now, everybody's been talking about Twitter because they were just purchased by Musk, but you have to remember that all the other social media outlets are doing this. The number one website on the face of the earth in 2022, can you guess for me? And I'm going to ask this as a question to the chat room. I want you guys to guess for me what the number one most visited website of 2022 is. I'm only going to give you about 10 seconds to give me your answer. What was the most visited website on the face of the earth in 2022? It was not Facebook, and it was not Twitter. Jeff Ward says Google. Diane says Facebook. Shannon says Twitter. Jan Lacker says the CDC. No, 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 no. It only feels that way. VAERS. Amanda said VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Reaction Reporting System. Lola. All right. Lola's the big winner. TikTok. TikTok was the number one most visited website on the face of the earth. Now, just for fun, what you should do sometime is Google TikTok suicides. And the unbelievable number of people who are TikTok influencers who are committing suicide is unbelievable. And just coincidentally, no offense if you're Chinese, but just coincidentally, TikTok is owned by the Communist Chinese government. And fun fact, if you have a TikTok account, every bit of your information is fed to the Communist Chinese government. Here's a New York Times story from July 6th of 2022. Parents sue TikTok saying children died after viewing blackout challenge. And here's another story from February 5th of 2020. Live stream suicide as TikTok waited to call the police. And it goes on and on and on and on. What is behind all of this stuff? What is behind these unbelievable social media things that are taking place? Well, the one common thread between TikTok and Twitter and Facebook and all these other websites is artificial intelligence. And these things are being programmed. If you go to TikTok and you do a post and you say that you feel sad today, in about 5 minutes after you make that post, your feed is going to start pulling up stories of people who are sad, people who are depressed, and the artificial intelligence is going to encourage you to wallow in your misery. And so when we understand that when Elon Musk said that we are summoning the demon with artificial intelligence, and then you read the book of Revelation, you understand that that is exactly what is happening. Let's take a quick listen to another clip about the antics and shenanigans happening over at Twitter.
Welcome back. More shocking details unveiled from the Twitter files. Independent journalist Barry Weiss revealing how the social media giant secretly blacklisted conservative tweets and users. Weiss highlighting the account of Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who was placed on a, quote, trends blacklist because he said that COVID lockdowns would harm children. And they did. Fox News personality Dan Bongino slapped with a search blacklist tag, limiting Twitter users' ability to actually find his account. Weiss ending the thread, tweeting, quote, "We're just getting started on our reporting. Documents cannot tell the whole story here." Joining me right now is the New York Post columnist and Fox News contributor, Miranda Devine. Miranda, great to see you. Thanks very much for being here this morning. I know they blocked the New York Post, obviously, from reporting the Hunter Biden story. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm just very grateful, I think, to Elon Musk for opening up the files and showing us the inner workings of Twitter's censorship regime. But we need to remember that this is not just happening at Twitter. This is happening at Google. It's happening at Facebook, YouTube, probably across the board. If you remember the FBI, when they were giving these bogus briefings before the 2020 election to the big tech platforms, about, you know, Russian disinformation, a.k.a. the New York Post's impending Hunter Biden, Joe Biden story, they went to about seven different platforms, including Reddit. So this is a censorship, a biased regime that is across the board controlling our thoughts, our ideas, what we see, what information we have access to, and they are biased in one direction. That was.
So I just want to put that clip on hold for a second. Did you hear what that woman just said? And I don't know if she's a Christian. I don't know if she reads the Bible. I don't know anything about that woman other than what she just told you is exactly what I've been telling you for the last hour, is that there is a campaign going on and it's being conducted by artificial intelligence and it's waging a war against every single human being on the face of the earth. Think about all those stories that you've watched and you've read about the war in Ukraine and what's happening with Zelensky. And they just put him on the cover of Time magazine. And he's the man of the year. And we've given that country almost $60 billion already. And it looks like that the United States is fighting a proxy war against Russia through Ukraine. And how much has artificial intelligence manipulated your thinking? And so when I look at all these things, hey, I feel bad for the Ukrainian people. I feel bad for the Russian people. But when I look at how this conflict is being played, and I look at how selective they are with what shows up in people's news feeds, you can clearly see that they are driving a narrative.
What was so stark about the material that Barry Weiss released last night was that it was all conservatives. It was all people who dissented from the Biden administration's the federal government, you know, even during the Trump time, whether it be the CDC, Anthony Fauci, whatever the regime's decisions were, anyone who dissented ended up being banned, blocked, shadow banned, throttled, you name it. And yeah. This is so corrosive, particularly Jay Bhattacharya, an eminent physician who just had some very sensible you know, based in science, recommendations for protecting the elderly and the infirm from COVID and allowing younger people who are not at risk to go about their business. And he also warned about the dangers outweighing the benefits of giving COVID vaccines to children. And all of that was suppressed and ignored, and people died because of it.
It is so disturbing, Miranda. And one point that I've been making on this program now is the fact that after the Obama administration stepped down, a number of Obama officials went to work at all of these social media companies. They got big
yes.
jobs and they got stock in Google and Twitter and Facebook. And they ended up with big jobs at these companies. So these are not journalists running these companies. These are political hacks. These are people with an opinion.
She just raised a very good point that I want to touch on. The people running these social media companies are not reporters. They are not journalists. They are technologists who are driving a political agenda. Now, whether they're aware of it or not, the political agenda that's being advanced is the short-lived 7-year coming kingdom of Antichrist. And that's what all of this is leading to. That's what all of this artificial intelligence is bringing you to. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Let's go back to Genesis for a moment. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And I said all that to say this, look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Let's read the first four verses of Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, ye shall be as the gods, saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, ye shall be as gods, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And so everything that we see happening right now, especially in light of Revelation chapter 13, where John is showing you injectable microchip technology, that is exactly what Revelation 13 shows you. There is no doubt about it. The only way that you can control on a global basis buying and selling is you have to have an implantable device of some kind. I'm not hung up. I am not hung up on the term microchip. I don't care what they call it. But I am telling you that the only way that you can control the buying and selling of everybody on the face of the planet at the same time with something that is injected into your body, it is a device that can interact with a computer through the internet. And that is a guaranteed fact. And that's exactly what John was showing you. So here we are in the last days. Here we are in the end times. And what do we have? We have robots and artificial intelligence. We have artificial intelligence that is so advanced that unless you heard programs like this, you wouldn't even know that you were using it. You wouldn't even know that you were using it. So, what time period are we living in right now? We are living in this time period.
They call it part of the fourth industrial revolution.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
The very idea of human being some sort of natural concept is really going to change. Up until now, the conversation we've been having is around freedom of speech. Once we can access people's thoughts and access people's emotions.
The focus, as all of you know today, is on what's now called the Internet of Bodies, involving medical implants and other kinds of devices that go inside your body, and all together with the Internet as a whole comprise the Internet of Bodies.
The Internet of Bodies, or IOB, is actually an ecosystem. It's a bunch of devices that are connected to the Internet that contain software and that either collect personal health data about you or can alter the body's function. We think of the Internet of Bodies as this collection of all these devices as well as all the data that the devices are gathering about you. And in healthcare, it's Internet of Bodies has been around for quite a while.
So the Internet of Bodies, imagine the power of AI. What is artificial intelligence? It's a way to automate computation and cognition. So we can now automate learning, perceiving, doing computation. It's a pervasive general purpose technology that will be used in all of our industries, that will come into our professional networks, our private networks, our schools, our industries and our offices. What I wanted to epitomize with the Internet of Bodies is this notion that we will be under assessment. We will be under measure of computation in every aspect of our lives in the future. From what you eat, who you date, what you buy on the internet, how much energy you use, but also what are your vital signs? How well are you doing in terms of health? What kind of specific genetic quirks do you have? What's your genome telling about your health, about your mental health, about how well you are doing, how well you are aging, what kind of disease you are susceptible to?
It has a bit of an Orwellian twinge to it.
Well.
So where is all of this leading us? You know what? This weekend, what I want you to do is I want you to make a mental note, and this may be a little bit overwhelming, and some of you may not be able to do this, but this weekend, I want you to make a mental note when you're out in public. See if you can see how many people have a device attached to some part of their body, whether they're holding it in their hand, they have it on their wrist, they have it on their belt, they have it around their neck. See if you can make a mental note of how many people that you pass and you've gotten so numb to seeing it that you just don't see it anymore. But I think that if you were to take like a weekend and say, I'm going to count how many people are using a Fitbit, how many people are using an Apple Watch, how many people are on their phone as I walk past them on the street, how many people are in front of a laptop, how many people have a tablet. And I want you to make a mental note of that. And as you do, I want you to realize that all of those devices are creating and generating data, which is all being fed to the same source. There's a place in Utah called the Utah Data Center, and there's multiple places across America. There's multiple places in every continent in the world, and all they do is gather data that is fed to them through people's devices. And it's all tabulated. It's all collated. And it operates so efficiently, okay? It operates so efficiently that if you have your mobile phone turned on and you go to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger and then you drive home, if you were able to scroll the internet while you were driving home, you would begin to see ads for the McDonald's that you just ate at. So what I'm telling you is that the AI that controls the entire world, it is operating at a level of speed right now that is, it's unimaginable how quick that it's happening. So everybody's been talking about Elon Musk. Everybody's been saying what a great guy he is, that he is our, he is saving us. Elon Musk is saving us from the censorship tyrants. Well, Elon Musk is still the same guy who's getting ready to roll out his human implantable brain chip. Take a listen to this.
On November 30th, Elon Musk's Neuralink brain implant company shared a massive update with the public. This was the most thorough and detailed presentation yet on how their advanced brain-computer interface technology functions and what it is capable of. The innovations at Neuralink are centered around making brain-computer interface, or BCI, so accessible and scalable that these implants simply become a normal part of our society, like having a pacemaker or getting laser eye surgery. Thousands and eventually millions of people could be using Neuralink devices to treat various medical conditions or injuries, and you would never be able to tell that they have the implant. This is a technology that will aspirationally help the paralyzed to walk and the blind to see. And this isn't just one of Elon Musk's science fiction dreams anymore. Neuralink expects to begin their first round of human trials within the next 6 months. So, here is how Neuralink is taking brain implants mainstream. So, Elon Musk kind of led off his presentation by explaining the basics of what a Neuralink actually does, which is important because not everyone watching this right now is going to be well-versed in the field of BCI, so we do need to establish the fundamentals. Neuralink is an invasive-style BCI, which means that it interfaces directly with the brain matter through a physical connection, and that will allow their device to create a whole brain interface, reading and writing signals across the entire brain. This gives BCI the potential to solve any number of debilitating neurological issues, and it can also extend the reach of the implant to the greater nervous system, allowing them to reverse paralysis caused by spinal injuries. All of the activity that happens inside your brain and your nervous system is just a series of electrical impulses, and by decoding this language, we can read the messages being sent between neurons and even insert new ones. One of the most interesting things we saw was Neuralink's visualization of that neural activity in the brain. It displays like code from the Matrix, but it is a visual representation of the millions of tiny electrical signals that make up our entire human experience. In order to get close enough to that neural network to get an accurate reading of the electrical signals, we need to place electrodes directly into the cerebral cortex. That's the outermost layer of the brain. It's only a few millimeters thick, but it holds the most dense collection of neurons and nerve cells in the central nervous system. That makes it a prime candidate for probing with Neuralink's tiny electrode wires, forming the interface between brain and machine. This will allow a person with an extreme physical disability, such as
All right, let me just put that on hold. I'll talk about this Neuralink chip in just a minute. Heath in the chat room said, I don't know why, but I've been praying that Elon Musk would get saved. How many of you remember last year when the Laodicean Christians over at the Babylon Bee, they brought Elon Musk, I guess they have a podcast, they brought Elon Musk onto their podcast and they attempted to give Elon Musk the gospel. How many of you remember the Babylon Bee trying to give Elon Musk the gospel? Well, it was horrific. Take a listen to what happened when Elon Musk meets the Babylon Bee to talk Jesus.
Jesus was obviously very pro-alcohol. You know, because one of his miracles was turning water into wine. Yeah. And then it was like, they were having a party. They ran out of wine. Okay. And they're like, let's keep this bender going. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Who can solve this problem?
We're out of white cloths.
So right off the bat, the Babylon Bee is telling you how Jesus helped to get a bunch of people drunk. This is what the Babylon Bee thinks of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I tried to let the clip play all the way through. I just couldn't do it. But this is how it starts out. They're calling Jesus somebody, he's like the holy bartender, and he's getting everybody drunk, and they're laughing. They think it's a good thing. But eventually, they'll get to the point where they attempt to give Elon Musk the gospel.
Jesus was obviously very pro-alcohol, you know, because one of his miracles was turning water into wine. Yeah. And then it was like, they were having a party, they ran out of wine. Okay. And they're like, let's keep this bender going. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Who can solve this problem?
We're out of white cloths.
Friggin' store's closed. And Jesus is like, I gotcha. Okay. Water, now wine. I like, party on.
I mean, we're here, we're, you know, the Babylon Bee is a Christian organization, you know, and we're a ministry.
Well, how come we're doing the show on a Sunday? Why aren't you heathens in church?
Exactly. So we have to make it church right now.
This is supposed to be a day of rest.
We did Zoom church.
To justify.
Do you have an idea, like, God said, don't work on Sundays. Okay. Liz, you guys are going straight to hell for this one.
Get into the whole Jesus rest thing. Okay.
Straight to hell.
This is church. This is church. So to make this church, we have to make sure. We're wondering if you could do us a quick solid and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
On real the quick. Show.
Personal Lord and Savior. It's a quick prayer.
I mean, let's just say, like, I agree with the principles that Jesus advocated, and there's great wisdom in the teachings of Jesus, and I agree with those teachings. And things like turn the other cheek are very important, because as opposed to an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. So, forgiveness, you know, is important, and treating people as you would wish to be treated. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Very important.
So it's like a 60-70%. Yes?
As Einstein would say, I believe in the God of Spinoza. But hey, if Jesus is saving people, I mean, I wouldn't stand in his way. You know, like, I'll be sure. I'll be saved. Why not?
Sweet. We did it.
Yeah.
I think he just said yes.
We got him. All right. We got him. Yes.
Now, that abomination is stunning on about 6 or 7 different levels. But did you notice that the only person in that entire conversation, and if you watch the video, it's Elon Musk and 3 people from the Babylon Bee. Did you notice that Elon Musk was the only person who was even halfway attempting to quote the Bible? Isn't that funny? When the so-called Christians that are witnessing to the lost person use no scripture of any kind, and the lost person is countering with the Bible. I mean, come on. James chapter 2, verse 19. This is what I would say to Elon Musk if I was sitting across that table. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just because you acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior, that doesn't mean he's your Savior. That doesn't mean that you have come to the conviction of your sins and you know that you are rightfully headed to a place called hell. That just means that you acknowledge Jesus for who he is. You know, the thief on the cross didn't just simply acknowledge him for who he was. The thief on the cross said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. That was a heartfelt plea. Jesus, I want to go where you go. You're not just the Savior, but you're Lord. And you're not just Lord, but you're the coming King. And you're going to have a kingdom. And that thief on the cross said to Jesus that he wanted to be a part of that kingdom. He was not just simply acknowledging that Jesus is Lord or a king or is about to have a kingdom. He was saying that he believed that those things were so, and he wanted that for himself. Now, that's what happened when Elon Musk went on to the Babylon Bee. And as near as I can figure, the Babylon Bee is made up of disgruntled children of missionaries. What do they call them? MKs or PKs? What do they call those missionaries' kids? There is an abbreviation. Trisha might know what this is. They call them PKs or preachers' kids. Is that it? Is that what I'm thinking of? But the people at the Babylon Bee seem to be the children of people who made them go to church. And they were given a lot of church, but they were never given the gospel. They were never given the gospel. And so that's why you have a group, and, you know, the Babylon Bee, I understand that they're satire and they're parody, but that wasn't just satire and parody. They were mocking the Bible. They were mocking Jesus Christ. Missionaries, kids. That's it. MKs and PKs. So, Elon Musk, he's far ahead of the Laodiceans at the Babylon Bee. Not a single one of those guys gave him the gospel. And without giving somebody the gospel, without conviction of the Holy Spirit, you can't get saved. It's just not possible. And Elon Musk did not get saved on that program. And I do not believe that Elon Musk is a saved person. You remember the article that we did, oh, when did we do it? Halloween, October of 2022. Elon Musk wears Halloween costume called, quote, the devil's champion, end quote. And it came complete with an upside-down Christian cross in the head of Baphomet on the chest of his costume. So this is where we are. This is the war that you're involved in today. Now, you might say to me, well, you're saying all this negative stuff about the digital world and the cyber world and the social media world. Isn't Now the End Begins an online ministry? Yeah, we absolutely are. And the reason for that is that God in the church age, God has a ministry in just about every field of endeavor that you could possibly imagine. And so, as this whole world begins to get in line with the agenda of the coming Antichrist and artificial intelligence takes over every aspect of our society, every aspect of our life, God raises up ministries like Now the End Begins to go online. And what have we been doing? God has been using us to pull souls out of the fire. God has been using us to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has been using us to hand out King James Bibles across America and around the world. God is using us to wage war in cyberspace to get something done for his name before time is up. So I'm happy to be here in the online world. It frustrates me. I get tired of it. I get tired of the all you have to do is just spend 5 minutes on Facebook and you see the arguing and the fighting and the name calling and the accusing, and it is just like a Peyton Place, and the Christians they're no better than the lost people. And I'll be honest with you, if it wasn't for Now the End Begins, I probably wouldn't even have a Facebook profile. I really don't enjoy Facebook anymore. And the only part of it that I like is that we get to preach and teach the gospel. We get to minister. And we're still seeing people get saved. We're still seeing saved people getting on fire for God. And God has allowed us to raise up a church. And that, to me, is the exciting part. So if I have to wade through the muck and the mire of the online world to do that, I have no problem with that. I'm happy to do it. War is messy. War is not neat. And you can get PTSD. And from time to time, I got to take a little bit of a a little bit of a break and just kind of rinse my mind of all the things that I'm exposed to on social media. And I look forward to the day when we're going to hear "Come up hither," and we're just going to see Jesus Christ in the clouds. This morning, I was woken up about 5:45 this morning, not by my cat, He likes to wake me up at that time, but he didn't wake me up this morning. I woke up this morning and it was pitch black out, except for these beautiful and very unusual rays of light that were coming in through the blinds in my window. And it took me about, 30 seconds for my eyes to focus. And I'm like, what on earth is going on up in the sky? And I thought just for a quick second, just for a fleeting quick second, that maybe, just maybe. But it wasn't the rapture. But what it was these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful streams of moonlight. The moon was perfectly full. It was completely full. And it was just casting these bars of silver across my bed in otherwise complete darkness. And I looked up at that moon for a long minute, and I was just thinking, I was imagining what would it be like? Because one day, Jesus is going to be up in those clouds physically, and we're going to hear, "Come up hither." And I believe that we will hear him call us by name. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something fantastic to hear your name being called? Song of Solomon chapter 2 says it like this. The voice of my beloved, verse 8, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I want to thank you for being part of this Prophecy News podcast today. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. For another Sunday service, and then we'll have our Bible study Sunday night. But next week, we are going to do some celebrating. Next week, we start year number 14 of ministry with Now the End Begins. And I don't know about you, but I am thrilled. I am excited. Now the End Begins was launched on December 10th of 2009. And tomorrow, actually, we will start year number 14 of being one of the most read end times Bible prophecy sites in the world. And we thank God for that. We give him all the honor and the glory and the praise for that. And we are going to celebrate next week with a bunch of really cool things. And I hope it will be a blessing for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. And remember, we are almost home.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired. Shell of yourself. When you start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead.
has brought heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between. Where we are right now